Behind the Scenes 23.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
Hey, this is Craig Patchett, and this is, I believe, Behind the Scenes number 23. And I'm here at a small but devoted meeting of the San Diego podcasters. And we're going to talk tonight a little bit about video podcasting and just a few thoughts on video podcasting. Before we do, I wanted to have everybody introduce themselves, talk about their podcast, give their URLs. And then we'll get into the heart of the subject. So I'm going to start to my left with Kit Mitzel.
Hey, it's Kit, and the podcast is dailydribble.net, and they play new music from all over the interweb. And you can get the RSS feed at dailydribble.net, and if you're an iTunes subscriber, there's a one-click subscribe button. So if you're on iTunes, just go over to dailydribble.net and click on the iTunes button and subscribe. We'll see you there.
Adele Sidock. And the
Tom
Loose
Sidock.
Ends, right, we're from the looseends.com, and he's the techno geek, so
she's our talk energy.
Yeah, endless talk energy, unfortunately.
It's hard to say what our show is really about yet. We're still trying to figure out what kind of podcast we want to be when we grow up.
Yeah, but we're a couple show, so we're married, and we actually talk to each other. Surprise! And that's like a big thing to most people, but I guess to do that, we're different.
And once again, our podcast is at theloosends.com. And I'm wondering if I said that right. I did not even say that right. That we're at looseends.com.
Yeah. You know, he's got that "the" thing going on, so it's okay.
It's hard to drop that,
it's
but we're trying
it's
to.
Right. No problem.
Hello, I'm Michael Wynn, and I'm the publisher of San Diego's new regional print magazine called The Osprey. And I'm getting back into radio, which I did when I was in college, and I loved radio, and this seems like old home for me, so I'm excited about the possibility, and I haven't got a clue.
All right. Well, that's who is going to be talking in our show tonight, and I'm going to start out. I've actually had a lot of time to think about video podcasting. I've recorded two shows already that haven't made it up onto the site about video podcasting, because every time I'm about to post them, I've changed my mind on a couple of different levels. And my first reaction to the video iPod was that this is really cool. It's something that'd be fun to play around with. But video podcasts, I just don't see it. I don't see it for the simple reason that I listen to podcasts, and I know a lot of people listen to podcasts, you know, in the car, on the commute, when they're, you know, walking, exercising, at work, you know, all places where you don't have the attention to devote to something visual. And so the ability to, to appeal to those people during those times isn't going to be there for video. And that was my original take on it, and then I started thinking about it and realized that perhaps there's a whole different market and a different level of listener or viewer, in this case, the video podcast could appeal to. I certainly see it as a way of for musicians to continue to promote themselves, independent musicians to promote themselves through music videos that could be put into playlists that could then be played at parties. You know, hook your iPod up to the sound system at a party and to the television set or a projection TV, and you've got not only a soundtrack for the party, but you've got visual as well. For independent filmmakers as a distribution mechanism for their work, just as the audio iPod and audio podcasts have been a distribution mechanism for independent musicians to get their work out there. So I definitely think that, you know, that perhaps this opens up a whole new marketplace or audience. But the question is, you know, whether or not it is going to have the same impact that audio podcasts have had, and whether or not it's going to provide the same level of growth within podcasting once the novelty aspect of it wears off. So who has any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the prevailing theory behind the success of podcasting is that radio sucks and we needed something else to listen to, and therefore there was this explosion of listeners and explosion of podcasters to provide a dire need because radio sucks. And unfortunately, I think television also sucks because I can never find anything that I'm actually interested in. And so you have this great opportunity for something really creative to come about and be put out, and anybody can get to it, whether or not the television execs at ABC or NBC or whatever decide that it's good enough to be put into 3 half-hour shows and crammed down your throat with 15 minutes worth of commercials for somebody to attempt to enjoy, but not really. So you've got that a potential for something really good to come at you without being inundated with commercials, without all of the stodginess, no more reality TV, all that stuff doesn't have to be that way anymore.
Okay, well, granted, but hold on a second. I'm going to let Michael speak first.
Yes, is it cool or is it not cool to be 65 years old? And I mean, it doesn't matter. There's a guy I read about in the newspaper yesterday who was actually dating people by their lifestyle. So rather than their chronological age, he's actually testing people. You can go online and check this guy out. And he's actually, you fill out this questionnaire and he tells you how old you are. And so I have to look at this, and it's kind of hard for me to admit I'm 65 years old. But when I was a young man, when I was a kid, radio was cool. It is cool. It is the wildest cool that you can imagine. It is imagination. And I was so disappointed to see television just kind of kill the possibility that radio was. And then television became crap too, if you'll pardon my French.
I absolutely agree with that. I'm almost as old as Michael is, and I've always been in love with radio. Never got involved with it professionally, but I was really disappointed to see radio become what it became. Having said that, I think that audio podcasting was certainly first on the scene, but I think there's going to be a time and a place for different types of podcasting. Video podcasting seems to be queuing up next, but I think we're going to see venues for even things like PDF casting, because you can put any kind of content you want up as what is essentially a podcast. If you've got a show and your show is about food, and you can post a PDF of a cookbook that you do. I think that these
or
things.
Just a visual. That's cool. So rather than you're right. People go along their car. I walk my dog in the morning, and I'm listening. It's a good way for me to be with the universe, and I'm being with while getting some input that hopefully is relevant to that. But the idea of then being able to get a visual. Not because you're watching the visual all the time. Oh, stop for a second. Look at this roadmap to whatever. That's a cool idea. Right.
So maybe the thing is that the video iPod has kind of opened people up to considering video podcasts. But in reality, it's not. Just as we're trying to point out to people that an iPod isn't necessary to listen to podcasts. Maybe this is a really good example of the iPod not only being unnecessary to watch a video podcast, but perhaps not being the best way to watch a video podcast. Whatever content comes across as a video podcast can be subscribed to on your computer, downloaded to your computer, and then watched on your computer. And maybe that's the best way to have it delivered. And that the video iPod is only going to serve in this whole thing as an impetus, if that's the right word, for getting this going and becoming accepted.
I think it's a lifestyle thing, and it's hard for us to visualize how we would use this in the way that we conduct our lives. But if you look at people that are under 20 and how they have taken everything portable, they sit around the malls, they they're waiting for the trolley. The lifestyle is different. They're at college between classes or in the dorms. I think that it may be bigger than we can imagine based on the way we think we would use it. Because, like you said, I like the audio podcasting. I listen to it mostly when I'm on the road or on public transportation, and you know, it's something you can take in short spurts. But there also may be a commercial aspect to it too, because I suspect that we'll see time delays on short commercial shows where 2 or 3 weeks later they'll be available as a smaller screen size format for these video devices. That, you know, once the video device is on the market, then, you know, there's a mechanism and a reason to do these smaller format shows.
I think that certainly in the same way that people take DVD players and laptops onto airplanes or buses, there would certainly be a reason to download a string of video podcasts and watch them on a long trip on a bus or an airplane.
Well, I can definitely see that, and I can definitely see the attractiveness of being able to carry, you know, videos, you know, with you. And then, like you said, if you're on a trip, or if you're in a situation where you have time to sit down and watch, or even if you're going over to a friend's house, or if you're going, you know, if you're traveling and you can hook up to the television, you know, at your hotel room or, you know, wherever you're going, you know, there's definitely there's that aspect of it as well.
The commercial part of it, you have to just put yourself there. You're listening to, I don't know, Gillian Welch or Sam Phillips. It's a really cool song. You love the song. Neil Young, whatever. And you're getting it actually video and audio, but you're just grooving on the audio. But then, you know, you have this downloaded. Later, you're going to go check out the video. You're listening to something. Some guy is talking to you from Sri Lanka or whatever, and he's describing a scene that has been in the news, and you're listening to it, but then you're getting the video so that later you can tune that in anytime you want to. I think the commercial applications are much broader than just the same old, you know, the soap opera, whatever the heck it is, you know, that you're just downloading a piece of.
Current distribution channels are pretty limited, so a lot of content like seminars and stuff like that just don't find a home. But with video podcasting, perhaps things like self-help seminars or like tips from the top floor, there's a visual component that could be exploited in a show like that that currently is in audio format that would benefit from video.
Yeah, however, you can't forget that radio broadcasting, which is what this started out as, unfettered radio broadcasting, for the purist and for the person who is actually delving into being the personality on the radio, it is what I like to think of as a theater of the mind. And if you have the talent to be able to take your listeners into a visual by just being a radio personality and with a spoken word, that's where the talent lies. And I think the possibility, just a minute,
well,
dear,
yeah,
the possibility of being able to see these video broadcasts is excellent, but we can't dismiss or forget the pure part of it, and the pure part of it is being that person with the tools and talent to actually paint a picture with words.
Yeah, I think that is kind of where Michael and I were coming from with the whole radio days concept, and that's what's missing. Everything is kind of pushed into our minds with audio and video and you know, whatever other mediums there are. Radio still, I think, in its purest form, is a theater of the mind, and as we exercise our ability to visualize things that are putting out there, I think it's a more complete experience in many ways.
So I can take you on an audio tour of what's it called, the Uffizio Gallery in Florence. And it could be an exciting and interesting thing that I'm describing for you. But now I enter a room where the art is there. And it's a spellbinding thing to be present to. And then I can actually download to you the images of the art I'm looking at. So it's not in place of, it's a marriage. And maybe where we're going is actually a marriage that was meant to take place, right? But it's not it's not doing away with the
magic. I think eventually that's the bottom line on it, is it will happen. It will find a niche, whether it's going to be a major part of podcasting or any other kind of casting. We'll have to wait to see.
So all the podcasters are going to become TV personalities.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of content the amateur can put together as far as video. Now, we've seen stuff posted on the internet in the past, and some of it's quite clever and quite good. But, you know, it seems to me that it's much easier for someone to take a microphone and some recording equipment and put together a really credible show. But I think it's another thing to have video and audio and basically all these other production talents. It may filter out down to a smaller group of people who do this.
Well, what about that radio broadcaster that you used to listen to and would, if I would let you, who took on other personalities? He was a talk show host.
Phil Henry. Yeah.
Yes, and he would be the bogus call-in questioner.
Yeah, he was the talk show host, and he was also all of the callers.
There's only one person really here today.
But what about him? Now, there's an example. The variety that we need in podcasting would include the video casting, of course. But for those who want to listen to talk radio or who want to listen to someone who has honed their craft as a radio personality and who is able to take them places so that they feel as though they actually were visually there but weren't, just by the use of your words and your inflection and what you have honed as your craft, that there should be the choice. And I think the video is excellent, but we can't stop doing just the podcasting and honing the craft of the spoken word.
Okay, before we move on, just sum up a couple of excellent points that y'all have made. First of all, it's very true that there is an aspect in radio that can't be duplicated in video, and that is that once you go into video, you're going to lock in the mental image that with radio the listener is free to create on their own, the theater of the mind. And I think for that reason, obviously there is a creative advantage in audio that you lose in video. Second of all, it is a lot harder to produce video. It's a lot more expensive to do it well, and it is a lot more time consuming. And, you know, if you want to take on different personas, you can't just go ahead and create your second persona. You've got to create the visual to go along with it. So certainly from a production standpoint, I think that becomes limiting to the podcaster. Third of all, I hope that we're not going to see a lot of talking head video casts where existing podcasters essentially just throw a camera in front of themselves while they're doing their podcasts. For the simple reason that it adds nothing to the show and it boosts up the bandwidth, which obviously is going to be an issue with the video podcasts. I don't know if you've tried downloading any of the shows that are out there, but they're pretty much huge. I think it's a factor of 8 in terms of a comparable audio podcast. So if you've got a 20 megabyte audio podcast, the equivalent video podcast is going to be 160 megabytes. So you're going to pay, a big cost in terms of bandwidth, not only in terms of you as a listener, in terms of your download time, but also in terms of the podcaster themselves. Finally, just as a thought, one of the things that I didn't mention before or kind of alluded to is I remember back in, I think it was early 80s, the launch of MTV. I actually watched MTV the first day that it launched, which dates me. It was an exciting thing that, you know, from what I've seen of MTV these days, when I do watch it, is, you know, long since been lost. And I would love to see that equivalent, you know, come back with the independent music and independent music videos in a similar format that just focuses on the music. And I think that, you know, that's probably going to be one of the first really strong uses of it. And I would definitely encourage anybody listening, and Kit too, you know, doing music podcasts to look at coming up with the new millennium version of MTV. You know, video iPod, VIP, let's do VIP TV. I want my VIP TV.
I'm actually in talks with one or two different people in the San Diego area that I'm going to go down there with the camera and videotape either a live set or maybe just them jamming or something like that. So that'll be on what I call DDTV very soon.
Great. I'll look forward to that. So, where do we go?
I have something else to say. I'm reminded of the fact that the first radio program I directed was War of the Worlds, a remake at Long Beach State in the radio department there. And the second was an adaptation that I wrote of The Little Prince, Saint-Exupéry's story. And you'll notice that... You try to do an animated film of The Little Prince, and, you know, it comes out so-so. And you try to do a science fiction, movie of The War of the Worlds, you know, and it's trite. And so with regard to what the potential of radio and podcasting, maybe the fact is that podcasting is going to have to notch up, that what we're going to have to look at is the script that can't be done as a video, as a movie, that's what's going to actually move the market and with regard to this radio remake in podcasting. Better scripts.
That's a good point.
If we can get through the digital rights, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that you worked on War of the Worlds. So one of the projects that I always thought would be a good radio project to do was Stranger in a Strange Land by Heinlein, because it's going to make a horrible movie and it's a great story.
Yeah, exactly. And so there are people listening to this perhaps, and there's us who are recognizing that, and you're looking at this question of rights, and that becomes very important because we don't want to take away intellectual property, but we want to be able to use it creatively. And so there's going to need to be an adjustment in the way these rights are dealt with, because the way the economics of this are going to change. Well, what is actually going on with that? Right? I'm actually asking the question because I don't know.
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a question that a lot of people are asking and trying to answer, and something that's going to evolve over time. And a lot of people are waiting on the answer. So hopefully that answer will come soon.
And maybe we ought to make up the answer, put it out there, and see how it comes back. You like the book? Let's try something.
No, I'd love to. Yeah, I think it's interesting, speaking of the rights, that we haven't seen any big confrontations from Hollywood or publishers or anything on what's happening with podcasting yet. Now, a lot of people are kind of pushing the envelope on the rules of engagement, and you know, it seems like nothing is really being challenged.
Because nobody's making money on it. You could do your adaptation of Heinlein's novel and put it out there, and all it will do is promote Heinlein's novel and the publisher.
Well, that should be kind of the first key to get the right kinds of regulations in place, is that if it's done properly, podcasting can have this promotional aspect for these people.
That's true. And it amazes me that hasn't caught on yet, and especially, you know, I think a lot of people will agree that it hasn't even caught on yet with the music industry. So hopefully the video and film industry will catch on faster.
Do you know the Gillian Welch tune, Everything Is Free Now?
No, I can't say I do.
It's really a beautiful song, one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Well, now I'm going to have to look it up.
And I, maybe I'm wrong, but it's about peer trading on the internet. And her song is Everything Is Free Now. All of my work, everything I've ever done, is now I have to give it away. And she says I'm going to do it anyway. And yet, when you see what's happening in the industry, what's really going on is that her work is being traded, and it's opening a door to live performance. It's opening a door to people who want to see her and hear her, and perhaps even pay for their music as well. But at the beginning, it looked like it was like a dead end. And I don't think that that's really the case at all.
Well, I think it's a dead end for the music labels, because their money is made off of the music sales. The artists, you know, make most of their money off of their live performances and the sales of the CDs and other goods at those performances. So I think that's why you see, you know, artists tending more to support it, and the labels and the corporations behind it tending not to, because it affects them in a negative way while it affects the artists in a positive way.
It's a big, wide, wonderful world we live in. And it's wider now with this bandwidth expansion created by the internet and podcasting.
Absolutely. Anybody have any additional thoughts? No? All right, let's one more time give plug our podcasts.
That's the Daily Drivel at dailydrivel.net. And like I said, I've got the one-click subscribe for all you iTunes listeners, so it couldn't be easier to just go ahead and click and subscribe.
The Loose End Show?
At www.looseends.com.
Boy, he almost left us there for a minute.
Well, I just wanted to make sure.
Michael Wynn, publisher of The Osprey, the first regional news magazine coming to North County, San Diego in the month of November.
And this is Craig Patchett, Behind the Scenes, btscast.com. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, anything else, you can reach me at craig@godcast.org. That's it. Until next time, take it easy and God bless.